Today I'm delighted to introduce our speaker, Patricia Weitzel-O'Neill. She's the Executive Director of the Roche Center for Catholic Education here at BC and former Superintendent of Schools for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. At the Roche Center, she leads a number of programs in professional development for Catholic school principals and pastors, as well as administrators at Catholic colleges and universities, and also programs of advocacy and applied research in conjunction with the Lynch School of Education and the local and national Catholic school community. Dr. Weitzel-O'Neill is co-director of the New Innovation Institute, a project of the National Catholic Education Association that sponsors research, development, and adoption of innovative programs to enhance academic excellence in Catholic schools. Prior to her superintendency, she served Trinity Washington University as Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and Associate Professor of Sociology. She's a graduate of Wheeling Jesuit University. We've talked about before. It's awesome. She holds an MA and a PhD in Sociology from St. Louis University. We're delighted to have you here today to talk about standards in education. Thank you.
Thank you. So, I'm going to learn how to use this.
Oh, that's all right. I'm going to switch it for you.
You go to the top.
Oops.
Okay, so it's just this key right
yep,
here.
The right, okay. Right here.
Okay, so first of all, thank you all for coming, and I have a time limit, and so I'm going to talk quickly because there's much to share, and I appreciate everybody coming because it's such a busy time of the year. The beginning of school year, no matter what level you're working at, is always so hectic and so busy. What I was invited to do today was to talk a little bit about the national standards and benchmarks. And to do that, to really take a look at what that means for Catholic higher education and what we could possibly do with these standards in Catholic higher education and why they're so important. So in order to do that, I first and foremost would like to point out that the standards are really the GPS. They're the GPS for having an effective Catholic school. This is my new thing. But the reason I'm saying that is that in order to have an effective Catholic school, you really have to have a mission-driven school. You have to have academic excellence. You have to have a strong Catholic identity. You have to have governance and leadership, and you have to have operational vitality. You know, you sometimes you just have to replant that garden. Sometimes you have to prune. And throughout the United States, understanding how to do that for particularly our parish-based Catholic schools has been a struggle. I was telling Eric earlier, not a struggle for Jesuit schools, because Jesuit schools have their standards. And if you teach in a Jesuit Catholic high school, you know what you're supposed to be doing and what an effective Jesuit Catholic high school is. But as a whole, this really hasn't been the case for our Catholic schools at the parish level. And so we've got challenges facing us today in Catholic education that are a little bit different than and pretty much the same as the challenges that are facing so many other schools. First of all, foremost, we have the economic challenges. We all know right now that's all we're listening to. But if you notice, that pyramid inverted itself while you were watching this slide. And what people are not talking about is the scarcity of resources that will be within the next 10 years because of the boomer population. And there are not as many kids in school today, which is why we have decreasing enrollments and why we have schools closing. But at the same time, we've also got this elephant that's just going to consume the resources in this country. And that has not been prominent in the conversation on education. And scarcity of staff, rising salaries, the cost of Catholic education, the cost of technology. Same problems other schools are facing, we're facing them as well. We also have educational challenges. Diversity, diversity, diversity. I can't talk about that enough. But in the Catholic schools, one of the things that we teach and we feel so strongly about is that every child has a right to life. And then those children come into this world developmentally disabled, or they may just simply have a severe case of ADHD. But not always welcomed in our Catholic schools, and that is changing. And so as we reach out to serve all those who seek a Catholic education. And as we say, we're here to serve all who seek a Catholic education. We have to be prepared to do this, and we have to do a better job at it, just as our brothers and sisters in charter schools and public schools. We're also competing with each other, and that has to stop. We have to start functioning as a larger Catholic community in support of our children, and we also, as adults in education, have to stop this tug-of-war for resources and realize that the Catholic schools, the charter schools, and the public schools can share those resources as easily as just getting the adults around the table to talk to each other, which has always been a problem. The other thing that's been going on that we really need to be thinking about is, what is Catholic identity? What is Catholic education? These are all questions that people have been debating, and particularly, what is Catholic identity? I have a colleague in the room who can't stand the term because nobody quite knows what it means. And that's what this slide is about. We have people who think that Catholic schools are Catholicism 101 and that's your fingerprint, or it's really peace and justice and nothing else and that's what makes you Catholic, or singing Kumbaya and joining the Franciscan priests. And those are visions people have when you say Catholic education. And they'll say, I'm not sending my child to a Catholic school because, and they'll cite one of the three up above. And that's not what we need. We need people to know what an effective Catholic school is and what it can be. We need to move out of the past, and we need to move into the future. And so it's this picture that people have in their head. I asked you to close your eyes and envision a Catholic school. You would see the picture on the left, or maybe if you're as old as me, the picture on the right. But we need to leave those behind, and we need to take our mission, and we need to move forward. None of this was happening when we decided to do these standards. Nobody knew how to do that. What would we strive for? If I'm a leader in a Catholic school, how do I do this? Where do I take it? What does it look like? And so we decided that we needed to do the work. And you can find the work on the CatholicSchoolStandards.org. That website has everything. And reference to that website is in this book, which is in your folder, which is, this is the original copy of the standards. And you'll see that the Roche Center is cited in here as a co-sponsor as well. So the standards and benchmarks really are taking us into the future. They're the pillars, they're the guide, they're what help us to become effective Catholic schools. So if you're in a school of education at a Catholic college or university, you should learn something about these. If there's any possibility that you're going to go forward and work in a Catholic school, and one would hope that would happen. So we think it's really important. But let's take a look at the history and the significance and the development. Notice the X. And now, the Ten Commandments, okay? These are not the Ten Commandments. These have not been decreed by the United States Council of Catholic Bishops. They have not been given an imprimatur from the Pope. These were created by the people who are, quote, in the field. Okay, these are not coming from on high and being handed down. We had no funding support or anything from anybody to do this, quite honestly. The significance and utility, I'm going to talk a little bit about, and then I'm going to talk some about the structure of the document so you can see it. As you look at the context and history, this all began with a group called CHEC, the Collaborative for Catholic Higher Education, or excuse me, Catholic Higher Education Collaborative. This group, Joe O'Keefe, well, you can thank Joe O'Keefe for being one of the people who helped found this group. And it were deans from Catholic colleges and university schools of education in 2008 said something needs to be done to help K-12. So they started hosting meetings on one subject period. And in 2009 at Loyola University in Chicago, the subject was, how can Catholic higher education support and help leaders in Catholic K-12? I was a superintendent at the time. I spoke at the time about what a mess everything was. I mean, that's just a nice way to say it. I got up and I did a talk on mission confusion. We didn't know who we were. We had 12 Catholic schools, and nobody knew who we were. We broke out into work groups at the end of that two-day conference, and it's a working conference by invitation. It was decided that we would move forward and try to create a standards document. Also at that time, Father Garanzini, the president of Loyola University Chicago, gave a wrap-up and said that he voted for, there were three propositions on the table, that we move forward with the standards, and he would back that, and he would back Lorraine taking the lead at Iowa University Chicago. So I went back to being a superintendent and started working on this document, and then moved in August to Boston College, where I had the privilege of being at the Roche Center so I could continue to work more intensely with Lorraine on the document. We then moved to a team, and this team, as you can see, represents superintendents. You have Bill Dinger from Sadler Publication. You have Bill Carrier, who is the West Coast Accreditation Agency person. So we had a real cross-section of people who said, I'm willing to work on this. And this is out of 120 people. These are the seven who volunteered. Because everybody said, you're nuts. You're never going to get this done. All right, so what happened is the standards project took off really January 2010. The meeting was October 2009, but it was really in that blizzard winter of 2010 that we had time to write. Because we were all snowed in, at least in Washington and Chicago. And so here's what happened. The development, after 2 years, and most of this was done on telephone conferences and online. Okay, it's proof that if you're willing to put aside 2 hours and really work on the phone, you can do a lot. And the reason we did it, there's seven outcomes that we really hoped for, and you see them before you. I think what's key is clarifying the brand. No one could explain what a Catholic school was. What is an effective Catholic school? And, you know, a priest who's very important here at Boston College, when I explained to him what I was doing, said to me, why are you doing this? Don't Catholic schools already have standards? And I said, yes, but they're each pastor's standards. And because of that, these schools are closing. We also needed a framework for improvement. How do I know where I am and how do I get better? We needed to provide a link so that Catholic institutions of higher education, when they do professional development with teachers and principals from Catholic schools, would have a document they could refer to and work from and ask people to use. We need to influence public policy. It's extremely important. The work I did in the Archdiocese of Washington, working for the vouchers for Catholic schools, sitting in, testifying before Dick Durbin, sitting in his office and trying to explain to the staff in Boehner's office and other places that, first of all, we don't do it more cheaply. It still costs pretty much the same. We just subsidize. Secondly, that what we do in Catholic education is making a difference in this country, but we don't have the data because we haven't been good at collecting it, and we need Catholic higher education to help us get that data. We need to influence public policy because we're one of the only countries in the world that does not provide support for families to choose the school they want their child to go to. You go to Australia, you go to Canada, you do not have to pay for your child to go to a Catholic school. You want a basis for accreditation. Right now, the New England Accrediting Association and the Middle States, two I know of. It's very, everybody sort of does their own thing depending on what school you're in, just like charters are doing their own thing right now. Unfortunately, the charters bought into a bad model. It's the old model of Catholic schools. Increase the funder confidence. That's very important. I was talking to a funder this morning, a donor, and it's very hard to continually give your money to a school and they keep spending it on a broken building and nothing's really happening to benefit the children. So how can I spend my money on a plan and really help schools? So that's what we did. So how did we do it? Well, we created draft after draft, and we took those drafts to meetings of the people, the superintendents, the principals, and people got those drafts. They emailed us. We had focus groups. We rewrote this thing 7 times. Then we took it to the bishops. And we sent it to the bishops, and we got their feedback, and we had to change a few things about Catholic identity to talk about a few things a little more strongly. But it wasn't too bad, and we were safe, and Archbishop Worrell blessed it, now Cardinal Worrell, and, you know, he sees himself as the education cardinal of the world. No, it does. He really does. He's the reason you have the catechesis documents for the high schools. He wrote that when he was a bishop. So anyway, Loyola University took responsibility then for publishing the document, and Father Garanzini had 7,000 copies published, and you have one of those. He sent them to every bishop and cardinal in the United States, every principal of a Catholic high school with a letter saying, I really think you need to take a look. It's really exciting. And this is what he said in that letter, and I think it's really an important thing. He says, the vision of quality is not something we need to invent. We've always had that in Catholic education. But until now, as a Catholic community of educators, we've not had any agreed upon set of standards that we can hold ourselves accountable to and accountable for. So this document allows a school to assess where they are in all four dimensions. At the same time, it allows a board to take a look at themselves. It allows a lot to happen. And so that is what's happening. The implementation is happening as I speak because I am going to be doing a lot of workshops between now and Christmas, because as I was telling Eric earlier, what didn't occur to Lorraine and I when we were, at one point I think over a drink, we said, what are we going to do when this like takes off? It's just, I said, don't worry, God will provide, you know. So local, regional, and national is where it's happening, and it really is happening. We're seeing people using this for just an awareness of where they are. They're engaging in the reflective practice of looking at the defining characteristics. They're creating action plans. There's all of those things are what people are doing with it. And we're being asked to come in and do workshops at different levels for different groups of people. At the national level, we're having the conversation at a number of national meetings. So the structure, I'm going to move into that really quickly so you can ask questions. The structure is very interesting. We argued about this a lot. I mean, those of you who are academically, you know, working with somebody right now, what's this document going to look like? Where do we didn't even know where to start. So we began with the defining characteristics, and you'll see the references in the back of this book that we used for the defining characteristics, which are all the seminal documents written by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and also the documents written by the Pope, as well as Pope Benedict's address to the educators in 2008 at Catholic University when he visited the United States. We have 13 standards. We started out with about 30, and whittling them down was not easy. We have 70 benchmarks. And now we have rubric for every one of those 70 benchmarks. So there are, you can score yourself a 1, 2, 3, or 4 on every one of those benchmarks. Again, you can get all of this on that website. The structure, as I said, now if you look at it this way, standards 1 through 4 really deal with mission and the defining characteristics. And if you look at standards 5 through 13, they really have to do with vision. Mission is why we exist. Vision is how we exist, and that's governance, excellence, vitality. And so there's a real order to this, and I will tell you, we debated which came first, because one is not more important than the other, but we decided as a group that governance and leadership needed to come first, because without that you couldn't do anything else. But the bishops were a little concerned about Catholic identity not coming first. So, I mean, that's an inside story, but going back and forth, we finally landed on Catholic identity coming first. Those are the defining characteristics. That is what makes you Catholic. So, taking a quick look at the defining characteristics, you can see the reference church documents on page 32. I'm not going to list those, but there are 9 defining characteristics. And these have been used by Advanced Ed, an accrediting agency in the South. And here's an example of how they're being used. How do you apply the defining characteristics? There are 4 surveys now that are being used for the accreditation of Catholic schools as surveys for their community. There is the faculty survey, the adult community survey, grades 5 through 8 survey, and grades 9 through 12 survey. This is just a few questions from one of the surveys, so you get a sense of how the defining characteristics are being used. We then have the mission and Catholic identity standards. You've got four there and 21 benchmarks. You've got governance and leadership with two standards, two, but 13 benchmarks. I mean, and then academic excellence, three standards, and operational vitality, four standards, and 18 benchmarks. And operational vitality, I'd like to comment on because it's something that was never here before. Let me see if this makes sense to you. You could find documents that say, this is what it means to be a Catholic school. This is what Catholic identity is all about. You can find documents that talk about academic excellence, and that cuts across all schools, okay? But canon law, there's one canon law that really pertains to Catholic schools. And you know what it says? It says you have to be academically excellent to call yourself Catholic. So dumbing down the curriculum or lowering your expectations for kids in the inner city is not Catholic. You have to have academically rigorous curriculum. So you can find that stuff. You can find stuff on governance and leadership. But what nobody wrote about was operational vitality. And operational vitality is what is, excuse me, taking all the money away from everything else. That's the building. That's the finance. That's the marketing. That's enrollment management. That's the business of education. And the business of education is something we don't train principals to do well. And did anybody train a pastor to be a businessman? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So it's been a real problem. So I'm really big on that section. All right. Assessing the awareness of the standards, we also have the surveys. This is a faculty survey sample, and we've taken some of the questions from there. So you have the faculty survey, the parent survey, then you have the 5 through 8 and the 9 through 12. So you've got 8 surveys that are out there, and those surveys, by the way, have been tested for reliability and validity by psychometricians at Advanced Ed. They've been field tested, and they were developed last spring. And they are using them right now as we speak in the Diocese of Baltimore, in the Diocese of Washington, Atlanta, and New Orleans. So we'll see how it works. Advantages for Catholic institutions of higher education. You like the picture I found? I thought this would be good for all of you. But in 2010, we hosted the Czech conference here at Boston College. And our beloved president, Father Leahy, spoke. And this is what he said to everyone, that, you know, whatever we can do to assist schools at any level rebounds for the good of all of us in the Catholic community. We're all part of the Catholic culture. Ultimately, it ties back to our mission, the mission of the Church, to evangelize and improve the quality of life through not only the United States, but our world. And he was eloquent, saying how important it was for us as institutions of Catholic higher education to support. That's what these conferences were about. In this particular conference in 2010, we talked about academic excellence. And that's where that whole Innovation Institute thing came from. But that's another story. I'll come back and do that sometime. Anyway, the advantages, Catholic higher education, what's possible for us? I think first and foremost, we have to adopt and integrate the standards into what we're teaching in our schools of education. If you're doing a course on management for Catholic schools, take those standards for operational vitality. They don't apply just to Catholic schools. They apply to all schools. You need a marketing plan. You need a finance plan. You need a strategic plan. You need to, it's a blueprint for a professional program. We've adopted the standards, obviously, in the Roche Center, and the professional programming that we're doing for teachers and principals is based on the standards. So we're using them as a reference point. We're using them and helping pastors and principals learn how to use them. And believe me, when they sit down and look at the rubric and then ask the question that the rubric is asking them to ask to measure that benchmark, it's really hard because in some cases they've never thought about themselves that way because they've really never been asked to think about some of these questions. We need to design courses in Catholic education that include the standards and benchmarks. And we need to think about training Catholic leaders in such a way that they know how to use these standards. And believe me, each standard leads to a whole range of possibilities of things that you could do. They're not limiting in any way. They're very expansive. I think the other thing that we can think about as possible is research. we need research based on the standards. And I think that that is the next step that both Lorraine and I are talking to individuals about right now. Because as the diocese and schools begin to implement the standards, how will we know if they work? And we need to study the implementation process, and then we need to study if the school changes when they decide to adopt these standards as a pathway for improvement and as a pathway for their strategic planning. Will the students' test scores improve? Will the community be happier? Will Catholic identity be stronger? Will the budget balance for the first time in forever? And we do all this because we want to nurture the soul of the nation. In 2008, it's one of my favorite quotes, but in 2008 when Pope Benedict spoke to the Catholic educators in the United States, the superintendents of all the Catholic schools were invited to that talk. That's who we wanted to talk to. It was pretty powerful. And the presidents of Catholic colleges and universities. And he really spoke very clearly and strongly about not abandoning our Catholic schools in the city and how important it was, because these are the schools that are nurturing the soul of our nation. So that's a pretty powerful statement. So that's why we do this, and that's why we have the Roach Center. And in your folder, just so you know, there are goodies for you. Actually, you each get a copy of the standards, but then there's some text that allows you to see some of the work that we're doing in the Roach Center, the Innovation Institute, the Jesuit High School Study, the St. Rose Project, Sustaining the Legacy, and our UCTC brochure is not available at this time. That's the Irving Catholic Teacher Corps, which is part of the Roach Center as well. And then there's an outline of all the professional development we're doing at this point. So thank you.
Oh, terrific. Thanks so much.